Biomolecules, module 2 of 3. In this module, we learn about proteins. Now, proteins are the building blocks of life, very important, and it's very instrumental in everything that an organism does. Like, for example, structural support, we need proteins. For storage, also proteins is needed. Transport of other substances from one place to the other. Intercellular signaling in the form of messages, okay, hormones. And the movement, the body movement also need proteins. Defense against the foreign substances like antibodies are also proteins. Proteins are the main enzymes. All enzymes are made up of protein, which is important to regulate the metabolism and by selectively accelerating the chemical reactions. Now, humans have tens of thousands of different proteins with their own structure and function, each one of them unique. Now, let's study what they are made of. Now, proteins are made up of amino acids. The first amino acid was discovered in 1806, that is aspargine, and the last one, that is 20th one, in 1938, that is threonine. There are total 20 predominant amino acids, and the combination of different amino acids, that is all these 20 amino acids, lead to the formation of different proteins. Each protein has a specific sequence of these 20 amino acids. Now, how was the name given to them? For example, they are usually given the name based on the source or their properties. Like aspargine was first found in asparagus, and glutamate in wheat gluten. Triosine was first isolated from cheese, and therefore trios is the Greek word for cheese and hence the name. And glycine, the name was given because it is very sweet and it comes from the Greek word glycos. Let's see the structure of amino acids. These amino acids are called alpha amino acids. Now, why are they called alpha amino acids? Because the amino group is attached to the alpha carbon atom of the carboxylic acid. So, in the structure of amino acid, you will have a carbon atom. To one side, it has got a COOH, that is acidic group. To the other side, the amino group, one hydrogen atom and a side chain. Now, the side chain will differ for different amino acids. For example, in place of side chain, if you have just got a hydrogen atom, it is glycine. If you have got a CH2COOH group, it is aspartic acid. And if you have got a CH2C6H5 group, then it is phenylalanine. Now, alpha amino acids, as it contains both an acidic COH group and a basic NH2 group, the hydrogen atom of COH group tends to be removed and being attached to the NH2 forming an NH3+, thus leaving the carboxylic with a COO minus. As both the charges are present in the amino acid, they exist in the form of zwitterion. Zwitterion is an ion which contains both the poles, that is negative and positive, within a molecule. Hence, they can be easily detected in the electric field, and they also behave like ionic compounds. Let's see the different amino acids, and they can be divided into essential and non-essential amino acids. What are essential amino acids? These are the amino acids that cannot be produced in our body, and hence it must be consumed in the diet. Whereas non-essential amino acids can be consumed in diet, but even so, it can be synthesized in our body. Essential amino acids, we have got valine, leucine, isoleucine, arginine, lysine, threonine, methionine, phenylalanine, tryptophan and histidine. Whereas non-essential amino acids include lysine, alanine, glutamic acid, aspartic acid, glutamine, aspergine, serine, cysteine and tyrosine and proline. Now, how do these amino acids join together to form a protein? For example, if we take two amino acids, let's take glycine and phenylalanine. The OH group of the COH group of glycine and the hydrogen atom on NH2 group of phenylalanine is removed as water, and hence they are joined by a peptide bond. The CONH bond in proteins is called a peptide bond. Now, this leads to the formation of a dipeptide. because two amino acids are joined together. This dipeptide on hydrolysis can give back both the amino acids. If three amino acids join together, we form a tripeptide. Like this, many amino acids join together to form a single protein. Now let's see the structure of protein. These are divided into four levels, that is the primary, secondary, tertiary and quaternary structure of proteins. Any alteration in the structure or sequencing will change the shape as well as function of the protein. Because each protein is unique and the sequence of amino acids in each protein is different and also the shape. Let's come to the primary structure. Primary structure refers to the sequence of amino acids. The number of amino acids vary for different proteins. For example, the smallest one, insulin, contains 51 amino acids. Each amino acid joined together, and insulin was the first protein prepared in the lab, Friedrich Sanger, for which he got a Nobel Prize. And we have the lysozyme with 129 amino acids, which is given on the right side. The picture is given to you. And hemoglobin with 574 amino acids and gamma globin with 1250 amino acids joined together. The sequence is very important and unique for a protein. If there is some change in any sequence of the amino acid, it will lead to malfunctioning of that particular amino acids. For example, in hemoglobin, the sixth amino acid should be glutamic acid. If in place of glutamic acid, a valine amino acid has been joined, then it will change the shape of the RBCs from normal discoid to a sickle cell shape, which has less surface area. Because of the less surface area, it will be able to transport less amount of oxygen to different parts of the body. People having such type of sickle red blood cells are said to suffer from sickle cell anemia. Hence, the sequence of amino acids is very important. In case of hemoglobin, as we can see, there is a porphyrin ring with iron in the middle and nitrogen atoms on the side, forming a coordination compound. When this hemoglobin comes in contact with oxygen, the oxygen gets attached to the central metal ion Fe2+, forming oxyhemoglobin, which it can take to different parts of the cell. Okay, now let's come to the secondary structure of proteins, and this refers to the shape in which this particular polypeptide, that is the long protein, can shape into. Either it could wind together in the form of helix, hence the name alpha helix, or in the form of pleats, that is beta pleated structure. The beta sheets are such that these are aligned either anti-parallel or parallel to each other, forming two types of beta sheets. And the alpha helix, as you can see, it is all coiled together and joined with each other with hydrogen bonds, making it strong, and they form the framework of various proteins like nails in the skin. Okay, let's see the tertiary structure. Now, once the shape has been finalized, this tertiary structure refers to the overall folding of this polypeptide. The folding leads in such a way, it is formed because of bonds formed between various parts of this polypeptide. Either they could be joined by disulfide bonds, covalent bonds, or by hydrogen bonds, or they could also be joined by ionic bonds. Usually the hydrophobic amino acids tend to arrange themselves inside the molecule or inside the shape, and the hydrophilic amino acids outside. This leads to the formation of fibrous and globular proteins. The fibrous are long, thin, lie side by side to form fibers, whereas globular fold into spherical 3D shape. The fibrous proteins are insoluble in water, whereas the globular proteins are soluble. The fibrous protein include the keratin in hair, the collagen in skin and bone, and which plays a vital role in the structure as well as the collagen in the bone and the cartilage. Whereas the globular proteins are mostly involved in metabolic processes like enzymes, plasma proteins, antibodies in
mammals.
Now, if you take more than one primary protein or more than one polypeptides and join them together, we get the quaternary structure. Okay, so the quaternary structure means the joining of or the result of aggregation of two or more polypeptide units. You can have them in fibrous forms, all of them joined in the form of fibers, or they could be in the form of globular proteins joined together, leading to different types of proteins. Summing up all the types of structures, we have the primary structure where the amino acid sequence of the protein is given. The secondary structure refers to the shape where hydrogen bonds keep them in place and usually form the backbone. It could be either alpha helix or the beta sheet. Tertiary structures are the overall foldings, that is the non-covalent interactions between the R groups within the protein, leading to foldings of the polypeptide. And the quaternary structure refers to the interaction between two or more polypeptide chains. Now let us see what is denaturation of protein. Denaturation of protein is when a protein in its native form is subjected to physical change like change in temperature or change in pH. When this happens, the hydrogen bonds are disturbed. And due to this, the globules unfold and the helix gets uncoiled and the protein loses its biological activity. But during denaturation, the secondary and tertiary structures are destroyed, but the primary structure remains intact. That is, the sequence remain intact. Okay, as for example, when you boil an egg, okay, the protein gets denatured permanently. The example of a fried egg. Whereas in case of a milk, okay, you can reconfigure it by cooling it back again. Okay, you get warm milk, the protein is becoming inactive, but you can reconfigure it on cooling it. We come to the end of proteins and this module.